As we get going, you could turn to Acts chapter 2 if you have your Bibles. If you don't, I'd love for you to get a Bible. We have Bibles here. But even if you don't that, we have these sermon note cards with some key scriptures. You can take notes if you want to. You certainly don't have to, but it does have scriptures that I'm going to reference. And so this is for you as we go through this message. Something happened this week that really convicted me. It was essentially someone that I knew, someone in my life, went on to eternity. And what convicted me was there's so many people who we know, I mean, they die daily. They go on to meet God daily. But the thing that convicted me about this person, I knew this person. I knew that this person was searching for hope and searching for a connection, and it never really just came together for him. And so my word to you today is all of us know people who need hope. Some of you here today may need hope in your life. We all know people who need a connection to Christ, to His body, the church. And so what I was compelled to say to you, and what I hope you will do, is these people that you know who need hope, these people who you know need a connection, invite them to church. And as pastor of this church, say, invite them here. Because people need hope for their lives. People need a community. People need a body, a fellowship. And that's what this is. This is the body of Christ. It is about Jesus. Now, if you do that, and if you invite someone, someone may then ask you, well, like, okay, why should I go to your church? Y'all have been asked that before? Say, okay, you invite me, that's great. Why should I go there? And you may have different responses. You may say, well, this is why I go. And it may be general. It may be vague. It may be, the fellowship, or I got friends there, or it may be worship, or it may be message. It's just like, hey, you know, I just love my church. Or you may not even be able to answer. And what I wish you would say, and maybe some of you do say this, what I hope you will say is that I go because I see Jesus there. Because in essence, it's really not about Bellwether as a church. It's really not about any particular church, blankety blank, you can put the name there. It is about Jesus. And you know, I feel like I've done a disservice because when you talk about Bellwether, talk about this church, but at the end of the day, it is about Jesus, as Jeff was saying earlier. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus is Lord. Our target, people who we are trying to reach, people who don't know Jesus as Lord. That can be someone who's been turned off by church. That can be people who hide in church. But we want people to know Jesus as Lord. Why? Because this is what it's about. It is all about Jesus. If you haven't turned to Acts 2, I mean, this sermon, the first sermon of the first church, Peter is going to town. He's preaching to them. Verse 24 says, God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is like strong Jesus. This is the Jesus who conquered death. This is the Jesus who conquered death for you so that death has no power over you, over us. He goes on, verse 31, he said, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. You may have heard that in Sunday school. You may have heard that here. I want you to hear it again. This is Jesus. Jesus who has conquered death. Jesus who has conquered your sin. Jesus who is sitting, living at the right hand of God, who is exalted. This is like strong Jesus. This is like going to war Jesus, going to town Jesus. This is not some good moral teacher. This is Jesus. Do I get an amen? Or are y'all like just getting to wake up? Come on, brothers and sisters. It's Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. And if you don't see Jesus here at this church, then this is not a church. And if you don't see Jesus at any other church, then it is not a church of Jesus. It's always been about Jesus, about Jesus' day. It always will be about Jesus. Every sermon, Old or New Testament, goes to Jesus. Your life, what we want it to do, is go to Jesus. Okay? Hey, I'm just getting warmed up. Woo, you should hear the closing. So, it is about Jesus. Now, I say all that because, I mean, it starts and ends there. So, how do we as a church, how do we promote Jesus specifically? How do we share Jesus specifically? How do we live Jesus specifically here at his church. And that's essentially what I'm going into today and over the next couple weeks. Because, yes, we have to be called bellwether, but more so than that, we're Jesus' church. But there are things that we want to do here to share Jesus, to help you live Jesus, to help you see Jesus specifically, tangibly. And I want you to know that. I want you to know those things. So when you invite people to church, you say, well, I see Jesus here, but this is how I see Jesus here. Okay? So what I call this is our DNA. We got some doctors out there. Y'all know what DNA is. DNA is the, well, I can't even define it. I'm not a science guy. I mean, DNA is like DNA, you know? And so, I mean, it's the core of our being. So I believe, and I've prayed through this even before Christmas. I was like, you know, we've never done this is who we are, DNA. We've never, like, codified the language. And so I've been working on that. And over the next month, as this series is What is a Bellwether? I'm sharing, this is our DNA in language, okay? And then, just to start off, I love what Jeff said earlier about Jesus, and I love the verse. It's on your sermon notes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. That is for you. Going back to Jesus, if you know Christ, the old has passed away, new has come. For a church, focusing on Jesus, hey, what's past is past, what new is come in Jesus. I hope you'll know that today as we go through this. In Jesus is new. All things are new. Revelation 25, I'm making all things new. The old is gone, new has come in Christ. So who are we? How do we share that newness? How do we share that life? First thing I would say, and you have your card and there's some blanks. You can fill this out. You don't have to, but you can. Number one, we offer a second chance grace place. We offer a second chance grace place. First, we offer. What do we do for anything? We want to offer grace. Why? Because God has offered us grace. God has offered us grace in Jesus. Most well-known verse in the Bible. Those of you who can't name any Bible verse, you probably know John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, Jesus, again, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but will have eternal life. And then I love John 3:17 too, because he said, God did not send his Son in the world to judge the world, but to save it. God offered us grace. God has offered us a second chance. How? In Jesus. Let me go back again. It all goes back to Jesus. God offers us a second chance in Jesus. So what do we want to do? We want to offer grace to all. Everyone. Everyone. They may not receive it. They may not receive it, but we want to offer it. We want to offer a second chance grace place. As in, those of us, all of us, who are broken, and we may have certain specific brokenness in our lives, and have sinned, and have fallen, we say, hey, we will offer you, no matter what, no matter who, no matter where you've been, what you've done, when it happened, we will offer you second chance grace place. This place, Jesus Church, is a second chance grace place. Because why? Because we were offered second chance grace in who? In Jesus. So we got to do that too. I believe the parable, the passage, the story that illustrates this best is one of my favorites, the prodigal son. Luke 15, I've preached on it, you know it, you know I love it. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but those of you who know the prodigal son know what happened. Those of you who don't, the younger son said, hey man, I want my money, I want my inheritance. I'm going to go see the world, I'm going to rock it out, I'm going to party. So the father says, well, yes, this is your inheritance. This is what you can have. Love you, go. He went. He spent, he bought, he lived, he loved, we don't know what he did, but he had a good time. He ended up in the mud with the pigs. And he said, man, if I could just be back in my father's house. So he begins going back to his father's home. His father embraces him. His father throws a party for him. Says, I've always loved you, always will love you. offered him second chance grace, offered him a second chance grace place. And then the elderly son said, "Man, why are you doing this? I've always stayed here. I've been the good son. I've done the work. I've X'd the dots. I'm diligent. I'm hardworking. I'm never like this loser." And then the end of it, verse 31, 32, Jesus ends the parable. Says, "The father said to the son, the elderly son, 'You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" He is lost and is found. He is dead and he is alive. He was given a second chance grace and he became new in Christ. Same thing that happens for him can happen for you, each and every one of you. Here at Bellwether, we offer a second chance grace place. That being said, so if you've been through a divorce, this is a second chance grace place. If you have struggled or are struggling with addiction, this is a second chance grace place. If you are struggling with depression and think, "Man, I never imagined my life would turn out like this," this is a second chance grace place. If you have broken all your relationships, this is a second chance grace place. If you are struggling with just total depravity and total sin, this is a second chance grace place. Not because it's a church, because it's the church of Jesus. And Jesus offers second chance grace place to all, to anyone, anytime, anywhere. And we offer it to you today, and we'll offer it every Sunday. We hope you receive it. Now, we offer second chance grace place, but we do more than that. So, secondly, you know, what I would say is, number two here, we proclaim the word with words. I'll tell you what I mean about that. First off, John 1 says the word became flesh. The word was, start at the beginning, Jesus. We proclaim the word. We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim Jesus reigns. We proclaim Jesus is Lord. We proclaim you may have many lords in your life, but they are false gods. There is only one true God. There is only one true Lord. It is Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is God now. There are no other gods. It is all about Jesus. We proclaim the word, and then we proclaim God's word. God's word, the Bible, Holy Scripture, it is without error. It is going to be proclaimed here. It is life. It's not a road map for life. Now, there are maps here. You probably got maps. I mean, I got some maps here, you know. Y'all probably heard it's a road map for life. No, it is life. We're going to proclaim it. We're going to proclaim God's word in Christ. We're going to proclaim God's word here. What do we proclaim? What do we proclaim? Well, I would say one verse that I love, going back to Acts 2, if you're there, is Acts 2, 38. Acts 2, 38. Peter is giving this humdinger sermon. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We proclaim that. What do we proclaim? Repent. 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 It's not just a one-time deal. It's not just, "Hey, come to the altar. Hey, forgive me of my sins. Hey, be baptized." No, our Christian life, our Christian walk is one of constant repentance. This morning, I get up early on Sundays. I'm praying through my message. I'm thinking through it. And I am repenting. I mean, I'm on my knees saying, "Father, man, forgive me. Forgive me of the false idols. Forgive me of the false idols that I raise up." False idols are like being liked. False idols of, "Hey, I don't want to do any conflict here." False idols. Repent. There's one Lord. I mean, it's daily. It's constant. You need, all of us need to repent today. We do. Some for the first time. Others to grow your Christian life. It is about repentance. repentance. It's about being baptized. Listen to this. If you have not been baptized, we need to make that happen. Even though we ain't Baptist by name or anything, hey, we believe in baptism, okay? And we dunk, okay? We do dunk. I got a pitch over there, but we dunk. And we're getting a dunking booth. But don't let that hold you back. Man, if you want to get baptized today, we'll do it. Now, I believe in baptism. And if you just say, hey, I was baptized as an infant, no. You need that baptism. You remember. So we baptize again here. And it says, why? Well, he baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That your heart is made new. Your heart is regenerated. It's restored. You're forgiven. You're given second chance grace. You can start over. You can start new. And you receive a gift. The greatest gift all of us will ever get. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will be with you forever in Christ. We proclaim that. We proclaim that. I mean, we preach that. We preach it. Preach it here corporately. You know, one thing that I've been convicted of lately, this morning, is that, you know, a lot of churches, a lot of people who go to church say, hey, you know, I kind of like my sermons, you know, kind of like having a conversation. You probably heard this. You may have said this. I don't like someone preaching like at me. You know, just kind of talking. And I've done that. I've like conversed, you know, with you. And it's interesting because the first sermon, starting the first church, was like proclaimed. And literally Peter was like, man, I'm going to shake you Jews. Wake up. Repent. Be baptized. I mean, he was yelling at them. The church grew with proclamation. Not like, hey, you know, conversing. It's proclaiming. That's the word, the preached word. So you're going to get that. You say, oh, great, I'm going to get yelled at. You may. I love you, though. And that's one of the reasons I'm doing it. I mean, one of the reasons I'm doing it is proclaiming it. Man, this has power. This is real. This is life. Receive it. It's life or death stuff. It's not a conversation. It's proclamation. So we're going to proclaim it corporately here. We're going to proclaim it by words. And we want to proclaim it individually. One other verse you should have, it's Acts 8. It's the story of Philip, who is evangelizing, who is on mission to this Ethiopian. Acts 8. And this Ethiopian is trying to understand the scripture, and the Holy Spirit moves Philip to him. And verse 34, it says, the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Philip began with that passage of scripture and told him about Jesus. I use that passage because we're going to proclaim God's word corporately. We're going to proclaim God's word individually. I used to always say, and a lot of you love this saying, I think Mother Teresa said it, so, you know, you may strike me down as a heretic now, but I used to always say, go and preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. I don't think I'll ever say that again, because I really, God's moved in me and changed me. I really don't believe it. You know, I don't believe it. I believe, man, it's all about good works. It's all about good deeds, but we are called to proclaim the gospel with words. God gave us words for a reason. And we need to help spell it out for people, like Philip is doing here. And so, I mean, yes, I believe, man, in good works. I believe in mercy ministry. I believe in healing the sick. We're going to do those things. We're going to build houses for poor people. We're going to help poor people. We're going to help educate. But as we go, we're going to proclaim the word with words. We were building a house last summer in Honduras, and the last day, some of you were with me, and we said, you know, this dude, the dad, you know, was not a believer. And so we shared, you know, we said, do you know why we're here? And he said, oh yeah, man, to help us poor folks. I mean, something literally like that. He was like, no, I mean, we love y'all, but that's not why. And he said, oh, to take in Honduran culture. It's like, no, I mean, that's great, but that's not it either. So we're here because of Jesus. Because he loves you. He died for you. And we had a baptism right there. You know, used a cup of water. Used the cooler. Man, there's water. Like the Ethiopian here, man, there was water. Let's do it now. Like I said, no time to waste. Let me have some baptisms today. Praise Jesus. But we got to go, and it is about good works. It is about good deeds, and it is about loving people, and it's about loving. But we proclaim the word with words. So one thing that means as we're changing, as we're rebooting, if there's a mission and we can't proclaim with words, we're not going to be involved in it. We are here for Jesus, and we're here to use what God's given us, our words, to proclaim Jesus. And in the next year, and also in the next 5 years, what I'm taking on us on myself, and I want some of our group leaders and other leaders to take on us on, is to help teach and train our people how to have a conversation, individual proclamation about Jesus. And you can do it in a loving, in a simple way. But we're going to do that. We're going to proclaim God's word, Jesus, with words, corporately, individually. And then, really the last point I want to go over today, number three here, is we shepherd to holiness. See, if you love Jesus, and I hope all y'all do, I know some of you do, and if you know him as Lord, then he calls us to something. I said this a couple Sundays ago. He commands us to something. John 21:16, he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And then he says, "Shepherd my sheep." Here, we need to shepherd one another. If we love Jesus, if we know him as Lord, if we're called according to his purpose, then we shepherd one another. And we don't just do this. A lot of people get confused on this. A lot of people, okay, I'm shepherding, I'm like hanging out, and I know I've said this, hey man, have a cup of coffee with someone, go and like hang out, talk about their life, love on them. Yes, that is true, but it's more. We shepherd for a reason. We shepherd to something. We shepherd to holy living, holiness, a changed life, a new life. It doesn't just stay the same, and it's not just, hey, we're buddies and we're friends and all this. No, we got to move you to something. The term that we like to use is sanctification, that you are growing in holiness. I know that's a Sunday school word, that's a Bible. No, you may think, man, that's an uncool word. No, we want you to have a holy life, moving towards God, changing, being different. A passage that I like about this is in Hebrews. This is Hebrews 12, verse 10 through 14. Let me read it to you. It says, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Say a couple things again. That passage, that we may share in God's holiness. That as we're moving to holy living, I mean, we're getting closer and closer and closer to God so that we share in his life. We share in his goodness. We share in his holiness. And he says, it is painful. Because to change, you got to stop some things and you got to start some other things. And that is painful. He says, no, but you've got to do it because it's going to bring fruit. It's going to bring a harvest. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring righteousness. And he says, so strengthen your arms. Strengthen your weak knees. We got some jocks out here. You know what pain is. We got some Iron Men out here. To get there, you got to go through pain. You got to feel it. And it changes you. And then this last verse here, it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So what we do here is not, we're not just trying to like be your buddy, your brother, or your sister. We want to shepherd you out of love. We proclaim out of love. We shepherd out of love to say there is something better for you. There is a holiness that you can partake, that you can share of God. And it produces peace. It produces righteousness. And you need it to see the Lord. And so, yes, maybe what I'm going to say or others are going to say, it may hurt. Your training may be painful, but it is good for you. So we shepherd for holiness here. So what that means is, like when I'm buddy-buddy with someone or I'm meeting with someone, I got to start changing some things I may say or do. I already say some of them now. It's like, you got to stop doing this. To men out there, you got to stop like staying out late and carousing. You're married and you got a family. You men out there, you got to start leading your family in prayer, at least at supper time. You got to stop. You got to stop this addiction, whatever it may be. You got to stop making excuses. You got to stop saying, man, I don't have time for God's word. We all have time. You got to start making time for God's word. You got to start getting in some group. It doesn't have to be like a B group of church or anything. You got to start getting with some brothers and sisters that will help keep you accountable, that will love you, that will shepherd you for holiness. You got to stop not praying. And you got to start praying. And if you start praying, maybe that'll get you out of some depressions or funks. You got to stop some bad relationships. And you got to start some new ones. You got to stop blowing off church every other weekend. And you got to start being really and truly part of a body. You got to stop looking at your life as your own and using Jesus to help build your life and look and start seeing your life as how it can glorify and build Jesus. This is shepherding. And it does hurt. And it is painful. But it gets us to holy living. And when said in love, and I say it in love, because I know so many people are struggling. And also, the other reason I say it, I've done the whole buddy-buddy thing. Man, love you, bro, and let's hang out and do that. And you know, for a lot of folks, it ain't working. They're still in the same course of life. So I'm like, man, what do I got to lose? And let her rip. But it's not a bad deal. Scripture's clear. It brings peace. It brings righteousness. It moves us closer to God. It makes us men, and people shepherd me, makes us men be men and lead our family spiritually and love our wives the way we should and raise up our children the way we should. It's holiness, holy living. So as a church, man, do me a favor. I mean, if you invite someone to church, you say, hey, I love my church. Why? Say, hey, I love Jesus. I mean, we were talking about it this week. My wife and I were saying, we're just going to stop saying Bellwether. We love Jesus. We happen to, you know, Pastor Bellwether. Just say, man, I love Jesus. I go to church because of Jesus. It happens to be named this or that because it's about Jesus. And for us, we want to live out Jesus. We want to share Jesus. We offer second chance grace for anybody, for you today. We proclaim God's word, and we proclaim it and as truth, as the only truth, as life, as newness. And we want to take people, we want to shepherd them to a new life, to a different life, to a changed life, to a holy life. That's what we're about. It's what I want us to be about, what I want to be about. It's the church. It's Jesus. It's His life. I want you to take a step today. Each and every Sunday, I just want you to take a step. Your step may be, that you are in desperate need just for grace, just for a second chance. It's like, man, just somebody give me a second chance. I don't want to be known as what I've done. I don't want to be known as like who I was or how I lived. And I, as pastor, I'm saying, man, you will get second chance grace here. I'll give it to anybody. I will, no matter what they've done, no matter if there's been brokenness between me and them, I will give second chance grace because that is what Jesus does. So how do you take a step? Say, I need a second chance. I need grace. We'll give it to you. You may have that grace. You may be here, but yet you may need to repent. As I said earlier, all of us need to repent daily. There may be something in your life you're like, man, I got to give this to you, God. Man, I am sorry. I am humble. Forgive me. Save me. Bend me. Break me. And let me start anew. Repent. You're going to have an opportunity for it. Whether you're in your seats or in the altar, repent to God. You may want to take a step again. Man, we'll be baptized. Brother and sister, man, we will do it. We will knock it out. Because I believe that it's not just a symbol, and it is an act of God. Holy Spirit washing over your life, making you new. So you may be here and you may need a step of repentance. And then you may say, man, I'm going this direction, but you're right. I got to take this step to holiness. Something has to change. I've been justified. I've been saved. I'm assured. But I got to start living differently. Then we want to shepherd you. We want to create a culture of equipping shepherds that love and disciple here. Or you may say, man, I feel called to shepherd somebody. And praise God, we need you. I've said that before, I'll say it. We need you. We need a lot of shepherds to help people. But take a step. Bottom line, take a step to Jesus. He is what it's about. What it's always been about. He offers grace. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to baptism. And I know, because I've been there, that a lot of us have so many other lords in our life. And man, the only Lord that matters, the only Savior that we have, the only thing that's going to reign forever, the only thing that's going to give us eternal life is a person, and His name is Jesus. And we're to be His church. So before we're anything else, we are Jesus' church. And I proclaim Him and I urge you, take a step to Him. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I would pray that we pray not as some rote activity, not as this is what we do now at the end of church. I'm praying, and I pray that your people pray as if you were standing right in front of us and facing us, because you are. Because you are. So, dear Lord, I pray that people here would know first and foremost that they get a second chance in Jesus. No matter what they've done to a person, to themselves, you offer second chance grace. I pray that all of us right now would repent in humility, would repent for the false idols that we have. And those don't have to be a thing or a person. They can be a fear. They can be wanting to be liked. They can be just wanting to be friends with everybody. They can be just ourselves. And that we'd repent of it. And we'd say, Father, forgive me. because you are Lord and you reign. And dear Lord, I pray for brothers and sisters here that we as a church could shepherd this body together. That people would love one another because they love Jesus. People would raise others up because they love Jesus. People would say, you've got to stop this, and you can start this, and you can put the old life behind and have the new life right here, because that's what Jesus said, and that is truth, and we proclaim it, and we want to help you live it. Most of all, I pray our people would take a step closer to knowing Christ as Lord. That step is in grace. That step is in repentance. That step is in baptism. That step is in shepherding. That step is in sanctification. And I pray wherever all these folks are today, they would say, man, I want to take a step to Jesus and know Him anew and start anew and live anew and let His life reign in me and Him be glorified. Your Holy Spirit can make that happen. And I know He's here, and I know He's working. Shatter the barriers and the walls that's trying to stop Him. Pulverize the thoughts that may be going through heads. And Holy Spirit, break through into the life of your people and help them be new in Christ. Amen. From right now till the end of the service, the altars are open. As we've started, we're going to have a brief time, a minute or two, to let the Holy Spirit convict you, to let God's Word convict you. Then we're going to share in an offering, and then united together, we're going to respond as Jesus' church. Our worship team is playing Set a Fire. Jesus can start a fire in you today. The Holy Spirit can let it burn and burn the old away so that you would be made whole and complete and new. I proclaim it and I urge you, let it happen. Let go. Start over in Christ.